The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, beginning with the 33rd verse. Dear friends in Christ, patience is a virtue. I really did not like that saying growing up. I don't think too many people like being told patience is a virtue, because when people say patience is a virtue, it's a nice way of saying relax, wait. We don't want to wait. We don't like to wait in our world today. We live in a world of instant gratification. If we want to listen to a song, well, we look for it on our phones and we can listen to it instantly. If we want to watch a movie, there's no reason to go to a video store or even a Redbox anymore. We can play it on our DVR, download it instantly. If we order something online or on the phone and we don't want to wait for it to come, we can just pay a little extra for next day delivery. We don't like to wait. We don't have time to be patient. And yet, maybe as you grow older, or when you have kids, or when you work with others, you do eventually realize that patience is indeed a virtue. Now, sometimes patience is a good thing. Now, maybe you're trying to tell a co-worker something, and your co-worker says that they understand and says that he gets the point, but he doesn't listen to everything you say and then goes and does something and messes everything up. Or you're trying to tell your children to do something, to clean their room, but your children don't listen. So you become frustrated. What do you want to do? You want to raise your voice, you want to yell, and you want to scream at them. But eventually you come to the realization that yelling at someone is not going to make them understand better. They're not automatically going to understand the point simply because you got angry with that. No, sometimes patience is indeed a virtue. It's not always a bad thing, especially when it comes to God, the way that God deals with us in our sins. Without God's patience, we would be on our own trying to deal with our sins ourselves. So today we see God's grace in his patience. For he sent his Son to this sin-filled world, and he gives us plenty of time to repent. It was a Tuesday of Holy Week. The chief priests and elders of the people, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and others, had already decided they wanted Jesus dead. Now, he was too popular, and he had pointed out their sins and their heresies too often. So they got together, putting aside their differences for a while, and attacked Jesus, this time by questioning Jesus' authority. So in response, Jesus replied to those chief priests, those elders of the people. He responded to them with three parables. The parable of the two sons, which we talked about, or which we saw in the gospel last week. Our text for today, the parable of the tenants. And then the third one was the parable of the wedding banquet. These parables all had the same purpose. They're supposed to drive those spiritual leaders to examine themselves so that they could see their sin and repent. Now, the parable of the tenants, the second parable, our text for today, it's one that you might remember. Well, there was an owner who built a great vineyard and he didn't spare any expense. No, he built a wall around it to keep out thieves and animals, a watchtower for the same purpose. It even came with an on-site press for easy winemaking. Then he rented this vineyard out to farmers, let them take care of it and use it. And when time came for a harvest, he went to collect his rent. Now, there must have been some agreement that the farmers would give the owner of the vineyard some of their fruit as payment. But when the servants of the owner came, the farmers refused to pay them. Instead, they seized his servants, they beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. So in response, the owner of the vineyard sent even more servants, and they did the exact same thing to them. Then the owner sent his son. "They will respect my son," he said. But when they saw the son coming, they decided to kill him too, which is exactly what they did. Now, Jesus never explicitly tells us who's who in this parable. But it's clear without him doing so. Now, just as the owner built a magnificent and wonderful vineyard, God built a magnificent and wonderful world. And just as the owner let others, farmers, take care of his vineyard, God placed us on this earth to take care of his wonderful and beautiful creation. Now, those farmers especially represent the Israelites, God's chosen nation. And the servants? Where are the prophets, the priests, the kings, the other servants of God who were sent to lead the people, sent to watch over their spiritual lives? But the Israelites again and again rejected God's chosen servants. They failed to listen to those prophets, and on some occasions they even put the prophets of God, the servants of God, to death, just like the farmers did to the servants of the owner. So eventually, God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus, time and time again throughout his ministry, pointed out that he was the Son of God, pointed out that he was the Messiah. But the leaders of the people, those farmers, they didn't care what Jesus said. They made plans to kill him, which is exactly what they did just a few short days after our text. This parable was spoken to the chief priests and to the elders of the people about themselves. They were doing the same thing that their forefathers had been doing. They had refused to listen to the prophets, even killing them. And now they refuse to listen to Jesus, and we're going to kill him too. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, who stood before the Sanhedrin, the same group that sentenced Jesus to death, he pointed that out to them in the book of Acts. He said, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him." Think about that parable for a second. Who in their right mind would send their son to a group of people who had already stoned and beat and killed his servants on multiple occasions? And yet that is exactly what the landowner did. He didn't come up to those farmers right away and kill them. He didn't have them destroyed. He didn't have them put in jail for what he did to his servants, but he gave them another opportunity by sending more servants. And when they abused and killed them too, he gave them another opportunity to do what is right, sending their son in hopes that they would respect and listen to his son. Patience. It's what God did for us. The Jews rejected the prophets, even putting some of them to death. And God could have rejected them right away. God could have given the gospel to someone else right away. He could have moved on. And yet he sent prophet after prophet, servant after servant, giving them more opportunities to repent and more opportunities to do what is right. Patience. And then he sent his son. Patience. Sent his son into a sin-filled world to save those who sin against him constantly. Patience with sinners to lead them to repentance. Patience, instead of destroying us, he sent his son to save us. Grace in the Lord's patience. But despite all that patience, the farmers killed his son. In the same way, the leaders of the people condemned Jesus to death. So what would happen to them? Well, the chief priests and elders answered that question themselves. He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. In other words, God will destroy them. Those who reject Christ will be with the devil forever. They will suffer for their lack of faith. At the end of our text, Jesus reiterates that same point. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. And the kingdom of God is Christ's rule in our heart through faith, which comes only through the gospel. So no longer would Christ rule in their hearts through faith. The gospel will no longer be shared with them, but it will be moved on and shared with others. Those who do not reject Christ. God showed patience. And not destroying the people, but sending a son to save the people. And we see grace in God's patience also, that he gives us time to repent. You know, the message of this parable wasn't lost on the leaders of the people. It wasn't lost on the elders, the chief priests, the Pharisees, Sadducees. They knew full well that this parable was about them. A few verses after our text, Matthew comments, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. So when Jesus said that God's kingdom would be taken from them, they understood that he was talking about them, that God's kingdom would be taken away from them. They understood when they said that he would bring those wretches to a wretched end, that they are calling themselves wretches. And yet, what do those chief priests and Pharisees do? Matthew writes, they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. There's no remorse, no sorrow, no repentance. They heard Jesus' warning. They knew full well he was talking about them, but they didn't care. They did not listen to Jesus. He had made fools out of them too many times, and now they're going to make him pay. We shake our heads in disgust, don't we? And rightfully so. I mean, they rejected Christ's warning, and eventually they rejected Christ themselves. They got what they deserve, we say. And we have a tendency to think of this parable and say, well, that's the chief priest, that's the elders of the people. They rejected Christ. So really, what does this have to do with me? Right? How can you apply this to me because they rejected Christ, and I haven't. But we're often, or you may be like the chief priests and elders of the people more often than you would like to admit. How many times have we read God's Word? How many times have we heard a certain portion of God's law? We tell ourselves, you know, that's great, but that doesn't really apply to me. That applies for that person sitting over there or my neighbor down the street. but not for me, because I don't really commit that sin. I don't really do that or do this, so that portion of God's Word just doesn't apply to me because I'm that much better. Or how many times have you heard God's Word and you know what it says and you know His laws and you agree with it, but yet your sinful nature tells you you're exempt from that law. That for some reason you have a special relationship with God where that law applies to everyone except for you. That God knows that you're a good Christian, that God knows who you are, that God knows that you usually do obey His Word. So if you just break this one commandment, He's not going to really care. He will just pass over that. He's not going to punish you for that one little sin that you like to commit because you're a good person and everywhere else. It's like the speed limit. You know the law. You know how fast you're supposed to go, and you understand it, and you agree it serves a good purpose, and yet you tell yourselves, you know, that law is for other people to follow, not me. That's for the people who don't really know how to drive correctly. I can go 90 on the interstate and be able to handle my car just fine, so I'm going to go ahead and speed, because that law doesn't apply to me. That's what our simple nature tries to do with God's Word. And we know God's Word. We know what His law says. But yeah, that applies for other people and not me because I have that special relationship. And I really know how to handle myself better than everybody else. So then when we hear God's Word, there's no remorse, no sorrow, no repentance. Just like the chief priests and others of the people. Three parables Jesus spoke to those chief priests and elders of the people with all the same purpose. To lead them to examine themselves, to see their sin, and to repent. Take this parable for example. Jesus was showing them their sins, how they had rejected God's prophets again and again, and now are rejecting His Son and plan to kill God's Son. God was being patient with them, giving them many opportunities again and again to see their sin and repent. He's equally patient with us. He comes to us again and again in His Word and points out our sin, leading us to repentance. He sends His servants to us, whether they're pastors or relatives or family. Servants who point out His Word. Servants who show us God's will and His gospel. Leading us to repent. He gives us many opportunities to repent and much time to repent. All of us are still alive. Judgment Day has not yet come. Each and every day that we have on this earth is another opportunity to repent and another opportunity to share God's Word with others that they might repent as well. Peter is thinking about Judgment Day when he talks about the Lord's patience. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The leaders of the people refused to repent. They sentenced Christ to death, and the Romans took Christ out of the city and crucified Him. Rejected by men. They hated Him. They wanted nothing to do with Him. So they threw Him out like a piece of worthless stone. But Jesus, in interpreting this parable Himself, quoted from Psalm 118, our psalm for today, and He said, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." Really, a better translation is cornerstone. The main stone of a building. The stone of the main part of the foundation. It had to be right. It had to be true. Because if that cornerstone wasn't right and true, well, then the rest of the house, which is built off that cornerstone, would be off. The chief priests, the elders of the people, they rejected Jesus like a piece of worthless stone. But God raised that Jesus from the dead. Exalted him to the highest place. He now sits on his throne up in heaven, and he has become the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone on which the church is built. He is the foundation of the church. For he died, but he rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. He has given that victory to us, and through faith in him, we have the gift of eternal life. So that through faith in him, we may be living stones of his church, upon which our Lord, our risen Savior, is the foundation. So whether you like that saying or not, patience is a virtue, truly is a good thing. Especially when it comes to the patience the Lord has with us. In his patience, he sent his Son down to this sin-filled world to save sinners. And in his patience, he gives us time to repent so that through faith in the rejected but risen Lord, we may be part of his church and live with him in heaven forever. So let us not reject Christ's warning and have the gospel taken away from us. Let us repent and rejoice in the chief cornerstone who was rejected and killed, but now is alive, so that through him we may live with him in heaven forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.